There's a lot of science that supports how gluten can affect your levels of inflammation, and PCOS is an inflammatory condition. So eating foods like gluten and dairy can really aggravate that level of inflammation, make it harder for you to reverse your symptoms.
Doctor said you got PCOS, now go on girl, just lose some weight. Till I took the symptoms into my own hands and reversed them naturally. So I became a dietitian to help my sisters feel the best they've ever felt. Take a step in my direction if you wanna prove them wrong and take control of yourself. Join a sister and a mister.
So by the time, I don't know why I had like a southern accent there. By the time y'all hear this episode, we will be in Japan, or maybe might be post-Japan, but we're going in 2 days.
I can't believe it. I honestly thought we were going on Friday, and then we looked up the flights, and it turns out we're going on Thursday.
I know, we almost missed the flight by a day.
We land there on Friday.
Yeah, because that's how we have it on our calendar, because Tallinn is a calendar just
fiend.
She has to have everything on a calendar, so she had it the day we landed, not the day we fly.
See, I don't have very good luck with flights. Mm-hmm. There's always some kind of issue that ends up happening that's like unexpected. Either I'm at the wrong airport or I booked it on the wrong day. Like, I don't know how this happens to me, but it just gives me anxiety now because I feel like there's some kind of mistake that was made that I'm not going to be aware of until I get to the airport.
Talia's tripping out.
I'm tripping.
Talia trips out because just yesterday she was like, I don't know what we're doing. I'm nervous.
I'm a control freak. Someone else is planning the restaurants. Like, we booked the hotels a long time ago. I forgot, like, where we're even going. So
I booked them all. What are you worried about? There's literally...
Did you see the notes I made? The screenshots of each hotel flight? And I, like, mapped it all out.
How hard could it be?
We're shared flying, notes thing.
We're flying directly, no layover, from LA to Osaka. Like, it's easy as it can get. And then we're just going from Osaka to Kyoto by train.
What train? You just told me about this shuttle you booked.
Like, I even booked a shuttle because last night I was working and I couldn't call Japan.
Are you serious?
I'm going to call it tonight.
What is this shuttle?
It's not a shuttle. It's like a car service that picks you up.
Oh, it's a car service.
Yeah, because we can take the train from the Osaka airport to, or is it Kyoto? Where are we landing?
Oh my god.
No.
I'm looking it up.
I think it's Osaka.
Japan. We land in KIX.
Is it Kyoto?
Which is...
Is that Kyoto, Kyoto International Airport? I'm gonna
kill you. Yeah, I think so.
Whatever. We land somewhere at 7 p.m. Japan time.
Osaka,
right?
Yeah. See,
I told you. How dare you. But the KIX threw you off because you thought the K was a Kyoto. Yeah. But... I think it stands for Kaisei International Airport, if I'm not mistaken. Well, but anyway...
It's not what you said 2 seconds ago.
I know. Well, I apologize. And you don't have to, you know, destroy my character, defend me. But anyway, so we land there at 7 p.m. And I was like, okay, there's a train that's like... You take a bus for 5 minutes to a train station.
You take a bus to a train station? What the hell?
And then from there, it's like a 45-minute train ride to... another bus station where they can take us to the hotel from there. And I was like, you know what?
Another bus station where we sit on another transportation to go to the hotel.
Yes. Well, you think the train just goes directly to the hotel? No, like some sort of Uber?
Do they have Uber there? Do we call an Uber to get us
from
the train station?
Don't worry. Let me explain. So because I knew you would be at 7 p.m. after flying for 12 hours, you would be like days. I was like, okay, Talia's not going to like this idea, even though I love doing trains. When we land, I'll just get a car service that will take us from the airport to the hotel, 45-minute drive. Wow. It's at least simple and easy.
Why are we doing this?
I will. I'm going to call the concierge tonight because there's like an 18-hour time, a 12-hour time difference.
You just told me shuttle, you told me train, and then you told me another form of transportation.
Yeah, when I said shuttle, I meant car service, whatever.
Okay. So we're just going to land, take a car service, and go to the hotel. That's what you're telling me right now.
Yeah, I am. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know.
Booking me under my name at this point. Jeez. But anyway, it's going to be really fun.
Is it?
For everyone, just watch stories. I don't know when this episode is going to be released. We're recording a bunch right now because we're traveling and we're just trying to get, you know, as many recorded as possible so we don't miss any episodes, because we do this for you, sisters. We make sure you don't go a week without an episode.
That's right. We don't put replays on that often. And
Once in a while,
we just can't make it. But, you know, we didn't want to do that.
But we've never missed an episode.
We haven't.
And speaking of we never miss an episode, I do have a little announcement. This May, the month you're listening in, is the 5-year anniversary of the sisterhood and our marriage.
Yes.
Our marriage, we've been married exactly 5 years, and the sisterhood was created exactly 5 years ago. It's just hilarious how it all just came to be.
Came together. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
These 5 years have flown by.
I mean, I don't think maybe the months exactly align, but it's like almost exactly right around May, April of like 5 years ago when Talia had first started the sisterhood. Maybe a month before we got married or something. And I mean, do you want to talk about that story of how it all started?
Sure. I mean, I remember when I was struggling with PCOS, I looked for answers on the internet. God knows I didn't get any from my gynecologist. I asked so many questions and she just like shrugged at me, and it was like a 5-minute appointment. It went by so fast. I didn't have any knowledge. And so I would go online and I'd go to like Facebook groups and stuff. And it was just like a really confusing, negative space that gave me so much anxiety because there were no answers and everyone was just suffering. And I was like, I can't. And I didn't join any of them because it was just giving me anxiety. And so I didn't have like a community to support me when I was really in the thick of my PCOS. And I realized that there really wasn't one. And I took a good look around and I was like, everyone seems to be really confused. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to find some doctors who have reversed PCOS for their patients and figure this out myself. So it took me a really long time to figure it out. And once I did, I wanted to create a community where people had answers and support and could see these amazing success stories that weren't just from quick fad diets that last a month, something that was actually long-term lifestyle and sustainable, which is our PCOS weight loss method. And so that's what we teach in the Sisterhood app. We have our learn videos. That's the resources that we have, gluten and dairy-free recipes, PCOS-friendly workouts, and just kind of like a hub where you can get the answers, you know, instead of shooting in the dark or going into really negative places and spaces that make you spiral and want to ignore PCOS for years and years because it's just too much and you don't know what to do. So it's like the shortcut of my 10-year journey.
Yeah, and it's really interesting how we've come to this point. Like when Talian first started, I joined Talian at some point. But it's essentially the first form of the for all the OG members, you probably remember this. But if you're new, you maybe don't know. So we'll give a little like history of how we came to this point. It started all on a website called Mighty Networks. It's basically like a membership site or like a membership hosting site where you can host your own membership. But at the end of the day, it's not really your own website. You're using like a third-party service. We had basically started using that website, and it was a great way to kick things off, but it came with a lot of limitations because it's not our website or because it's not really completely customizable, if that's a word. Mm-hmm. We weren't able to like make it exactly how we wanted to be. So that was like the first iteration. That maybe was like 1 or 2 years. And then we graduated to a fully custom website where it was all on a desktop, basically like on like Safari or like a browser. We were able to make a custom website with all the meal plans, workouts, and things like that. That was like version 2.0. But of course, that also came with its own set of limitations. One, it wasn't the most mobile-friendly version. It wasn't smart enough to personalize your journey for you. There wasn't a lot of things that we could do with the app. So we got a lot of feedback over the years after that, and we're really focused on making the best version possible. Mm-hmm. So that came 3.0, the Sisterhood app. That took about a year to build, and that's what you see now. So it's just like, it's really interesting. What you see today is a culmination of 5 years of building something from like one poor website to a better website and now to a really good app. And of course, the app doesn't end here. it's going to be constantly improved. Like we're doing, like literally today, yeah. we have an update coming out, 1.36. That's going to fix a couple of issues and improve the experience.
Yeah. And we're proud of it. You know, we're proud of our community and all of the people that have been reversing their symptoms. And we love talking about it and reading their stories and inspiring more people. Because I know that rut that you can get into where you think that your symptoms cannot be reversed and you should just ignore them forever. And that's what we want you to avoid.
Yeah. And not just that, like it's all thanks to our members as well for giving us their feedback, letting us know how we can always improve and just letting us know that they're enjoying the membership so we can always, you know, keep our focus on what people want the most. So, and it's also, I mean, I haven't talked about this part as much, but it's also made our 5 years of marriage an amazing journey as well. Like me and Tanya love working together and it's been like a great way to bring us closer together over the last 5 years, not just through like seeing people's is like successes and like really feeling fulfilled based on the people we help, but just being part of this community and really like just being grateful for like what we're able to do all together as one in this community. Just yeah. has been huge.
It's been a really fulfilling 5 years of marriage. I feel yeah. like the sisterhood was our first baby.
Yeah.
Because we put a lot, like every it day, was, yeah. everything, it's all we talk about, like how do we make it better? How do we create this resource? How do we provide everything a sister needs? And honestly, it was our first baby. Let's call it yeah. what it is.
Yeah, and it's ironically, it's the reason why we haven't thought, or we haven't planned for a baby yet was because we've been so busy with this.
That's
but
so true.
Next year will be the year, hopefully. But it's funny though, like it's like our marriage has just been about basically the sisterhood and yeah. really creating this community, and that's what makes this marriage like a really
fulfilling.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Well, anyway, sorry, we kind of digressed a little bit.
Digress into our love.
Yeah, we got a little bit passionate there. But with that, let's go into today's episode. Today, we're going to talk about a very common topic, something you guys hear us talk about all the time, and that is gluten-free for PCOS. Is this supported by science? Is it all hype? If you've listened to previous episodes, you've heard us talk about some of the specifics that we'll mention here, but we're going to expand on it today and really get deep into it.
Zinc, vitamin D, magnesium, B12, these are all the vitamins that we're deficient in because of PCOS, and the list grows on.
If there was only a way to get all of these into one supplement bundle without going on a massive online search.
Hello.
What?
Isn't that why we created Metabolism Plus?
Oh, you mean our supplement line that covers all the nutrients and vitamins a woman with PCOS needs in one bundle?
Yes. Sisters, when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I was so overwhelmed with researching all the different supplement companies, and eventually I had a huge collection of bottles in my cabinet that I couldn't even keep up with.
So with that in mind, we created a bundle of four essential supplements that have the fundamental nutrients for women with PCOS, and it's called Metabolism Plus.
Not only does our bundle include omega-3, coenzyme Q10, curcumin, but it even has a multivitamin designed to fill nutrient gaps that are common in women with PCOS.
And what makes it really special is that all of our supplements are NSF certified, which means they are third-party tested for purity and accuracy.
Head over to ovafit.org to order your Metabolism Plus bundle today.
That's ovafit.org.
Okay, stop smelling. The link is in the description.
How dare you?
Well, let's read off some amazing stories from sisters who have gone gluten and dairy free in the sisterhood.
Yes.
Starting with Ava. She says, I just wanted to share a small win. I've been struggling with symptoms for years prior to being diagnosed, and one of my worst symptoms was waking up severely fatigued no matter how much sleep I got. I'm talking like waking up feeling like I was coming out of a coma and severely struggling to become alert for a solid 30 minutes every morning. I honestly had just accepted that it was part of aging and maybe I was really just that tired, but after taking all the supplements, Metabolism Plus, going gluten and dairy free for 2 weeks, I actually woke up the past 2 days with energy. Ooh. My husband immediately noticed, and he was just as excited as I was. So thankful for this group. It's literally already changed my life, and I'm just getting started.
That is amazing. That's Ava. Amazing. Congratulations.
Only 2 weeks and you're already feeling the results. I mean, it's so much easier to follow when you notice how much it's helping you. And I'm so happy that you're noticing and sharing with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure so many can relate to waking up feeling like you just like have no energy, struggling to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. So it's really great for to know that it's possible to wake up with energy mm-hmm. and actually start your day off on the right
foot.
All right. And then before we go on to the main topic, we have one more success story here. This one is from Bethany. She says, "Man, oh man, I made a mistake of eating some things I would have normally eaten prior to cutting out gluten and dairy. I'm sure paying for it, lol. It's really made me realize how much gluten and dairy do affect me though. 5 pounds down in 2 weeks and have been feeling great otherwise. So much less fatigue, no bloating or bathroom issues after I eat. Less cravings and less inflammation. Never thought in a million years I'd be excited to get back to no gluten or dairy, but here I am looking forward to it."
That's the thing, you know, it's not just about PCOS weight loss. It's all about healing your symptoms along the way. And some of those really intense fad diets, like cutting out all of your carbs and stuff like that, maybe you do lose weight for a second, but do your cravings go away? Do you improve your inflammation? Like, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So this is much easier to follow and willingly because you feel good.
Yeah.
So yeah, should we hop into, you know, the science about going gluten-free?
Yes, let's get into it. So Talin, you're the dietitian. Kick us off.
I will kick us off. I get this question a lot. Should I go gluten-free for PCOS? And the answer is you have to give it a try to see how it affects your body. There's a lot of science that supports how gluten can affect your levels of inflammation. And PCOS is an inflammatory condition. So eating foods like gluten and dairy can really aggravate that level of inflammation, make it harder for you to reverse your symptoms.
Could you give us like a short explanation, like a basic explanation of what gluten is exactly, just for anyone who may not know?
Yes. So gluten, it's a protein that's found in wheat and bulgur and farro and barley and rye.
Like grains.
Grains.
A lot of different grains, right?
Yeah, a lot of different grains too that are very common in the U.S. are wheat and rye. So you'll see a lot of breads made with that. Mm-hmm. And then in the Mediterranean cuisine, you see bulgur being used or farro being used a lot. And so that's where you'll typically find it. And sometimes it feels like gluten is in everything because it's kind of a binder. It gives food that chewy, delicious, like texture that you kind of like crave. And so they put it in a lot of different snacks and protein bars and things like that that make you kind of feel like addicted to it.
Yeah.
So removing gluten from your diet for at least 30 days will help you figure out if it's affecting symptoms of PCOS that are related to inflammation, like carb cravings, weight issues, energy and mood levels, and bloating, of course. That's like the most immediate feeling that you get after you eat a meal. And think of it this way. You eat gluten or dairy, you eat 3 times a day. So if you're eating that 3 times a day and it's aggravating your inflammation 3 times a day, wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know if that's like fueling this inflammatory fire that's going on in your body? I certainly had a lot of cystic acne, a sign of inflammation. So going gluten and dairy free was a huge game changer. And like no amount of face products, makeup, I spent so much money on lotions and things and dermatologist appointments, and none of it is like worth it if you're eating the foods that are fueling the fire that are causing the inflammation and the cystic acne.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like you have to get it from the root cause, or else all the skin products or anything else is only just covering up as best as it can.
And that goes for all the PCOS symptoms. Yeah. You know, it's affecting your mood, your weight, your cravings. You have to get down to the bottom of it and not just keep masking it with other things.
Yeah. So if you were wondering if going gluten-free for PCOS was a fad or is it based on science, we're going to give you a lot of research and literature today that shows the science behind going gluten-free for PCOS, including how it affects your metabolism, inflammation, insulin resistance, and much more. If you're also new to this, I highly recommend reading a book called Going Against the Grain. It is by Melissa Diane Smith. She's a nutritionist and author of that book. And she talks about how gluten sensitivity is found in 85% of women with PCOS. Mm-hmm. 85%. Of course, there's also the book PCOS SOS by our favorite doctor, Dr. Phyllis Gersh, who's a leading innovator. Leading gynecologist, double board certified,
mm-hmm.
but leading gynecologist in PCOS. And she even talks about in her book about going gluten-free as well as dairy-free. But we'll get to that on another episode.
Yes.
But essentially, there's already so much literature and research going back decades.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely not a new fad.
Yes.
This is based on a lot of great science.
Let's get into it. Gluten affects our leptin hormone, aka our fat thermostat. Leptin, often referred to as the satiety hormone or fat thermostat, it plays a crucial role in regulating energy balance by inhibiting hunger, which in turn helps to regulate body weight. It's produced by your fat cells and helps to communicate to the brain about the body's fat storage, and that influences your appetite and metabolism based on energy levels.
Yes, so basically when gluten affects your leptin sensitivity, it means the brain might become less responsive to the leptin signals. So this is a condition known as leptin resistance. So where despite having enough food or fat stores or basically enough food, your body does not perceive satiety or fullness adequately, and it potentially can lead to overeating.
Yeah, gluten can also impact your gut health. In some cases, it may contribute to changes in fat distribution or accumulation due to inflammatory responses and other factors like altered nutrient absorption. And changes in body fat can directly affect your leptin production because leptin is secreted by fat tissue.
Yes, so like when we talk about how inflammation can lead to, like, you know, those terms like PCOS spoon face, where mm-hmm. you retain weight in the face, or even like PCOS belly where you can retain weight in the belly area. This kind of basically relates to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So overall, like basically when you are leptin resistant, your appetite regulation is impaired. Your mm-hmm. your fullness signals are not working correctly, which, like we just said earlier, can lead to changes in your appetite and also can cause you to have less energy.
Yeah. And not to mention that gluten can decrease your leptin hormone sensitivity by 50%,
yeah.
studies show. So it can have a huge impact on your hunger and fullness cues.
Yeah, exactly. The second area to discuss is how gluten can trigger leaky gut. Essentially, it can affect gut permeability through its interaction with a protein called zonulin. So when you consume gluten, it reaches your intestines where it can trigger certain cellular responses. So what happens is the presence of gluten can stimulate the release of zonulin from the intestinal cells. Zonulin is a protein that modulates the permeability of tight junctions between cells in the digestive tract. The tight junctions are structures that essentially seal the spaces and line the intestinal wall, preventing uncontrolled substances into the bloodstream. However, when zonulin levels increase, these tight junctions can become more permeable, often referred to as leaky. This increased permeability allows larger molecules, such as proteins and bacteria, that are normally confined to the digestive tract to pass through the gut lining into the bloodstream. And this is where it can create a battleground for inflammation, because when these foreign substances go into your bloodstream, your body is going to react. The immune system sees this and essentially reacts aggressively to the gluten and to this harmful bacteria, and then therefore causes a systemic inflammation.
Well said. Yes. So that systemic inflammation can lead to PCOS symptoms like cystic acne, hair loss, fatigue. And you might even feel that fatigue right after you eat the gluten, depending on how sensitive you are to it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're feeling like bloated immediately after your gluten, that can also be a sign. So it's really interesting. It's like it can cause you, or it can contribute to leaky gut syndrome with PCOS.
Exactly. So another way that gluten can affect us is it affects our thyroid. And as you know, hypothyroidism is one of the root causes of PCOS. Women with PCOS, we are 3 times more likely to have hypothyroidism, and that can kind of look like the same PCOS symptoms: hair loss, fatigue, anxiety, weight gain, complete inability to lose weight. And so what happens is gluten contains a protein called gliadin, and your body can easily mistake this protein for the thyroid molecule through something called molecular mimicry. And so if your gut is inflamed or irritated, and you're gluten sensitive, that gliadin protein gets through the intestinal barrier, like Sirak mentioned, and into your bloodstream, not only creating chronic inflammation, but your body also thinks that that gliadin molecule is the thyroid molecule. So it attacks the gliadin molecule because it's an invader, it's inflammatory, and at the same time, it attacks your thyroid molecule, making it harder for you to overcome hypothyroidism. So if you have hypothyroidism, if you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, it's really imperative that you know this, because every time you eat gluten, your body may be attacking it and also attacking your thyroid at the same time. So it's certainly worth going gluten-free for 30 days to see how you feel if that's going to help with some of your symptoms, whether it's PCOS or hypothyroidism.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just talked about some ways how it can impact your metabolism, your inflammation. Of course, also this can impact your insulin resistance and so much more. So it's really interesting. And there's also like other topics or other facts about gluten that are also like intriguing, or you might want to say like red flags. So for example, some of the things about gluten has changed over the past few decades. The gluten plant itself has been genetically modified over the years to become thicker so that the plant can grow taller and therefore can be stronger, and they can harvest more oats or whatever, like gluten that they're growing. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Gluten that they're growing?
Wheat that they're growing.
The wheat, yeah, that's what I meant to say.
The wheat has also been genetically modified to be more chewy and to contain more gluten protein in it, which makes it harder to digest and harder on your gut and harder for your inflammation.
Yeah.
So it's not the same grain as our ancestors were eating. So.
Exactly. Like our ancestors for thousands of years were eating that kind of gluten or wheat, and our stomachs have evolved to mm-hmm. be used to digest that. But when you genetically modify something to be thicker and gooier and harder to digest in just a matter of decades, our bodies are not used to that yet.
Yeah.
We haven't evolved to essentially digest that as efficiently. So therefore, that's also going to cause indirect inflammation just like that. Not to mention how so much of wheat, essentially almost all, unless you buy organic, is sprayed with glyphosate. And I don't think I even have to tell you, if you haven't heard about glyphosate, just search glyphosate side effects and you'll find all these crazy things.
But essentially, side effects.
Yeah, essentially glyphosate is a pesticide, and it's used more and more now because now companies are allowed to spray glyphosate not only in the beginning of the wheat's growing cycle, but now they can even spray glyphosate onto wheat at the end of its cycle, right before it's harvested. Before, when they would spray with glyphosate in the beginning, some of it would actually be washed away from rain and other things. But now, when they spray it at the end of its cycle in order to make sure that the wheat doesn't get, you know, damaged, now we're consuming more of it. So this is a really interesting area as well. It's not just the gluten itself. It's also what's on the gluten that's really important to consider.
Yeah, and a lot of people say that when they go to Europe, they don't feel the same symptoms when they eat the gluten there or the wheat bread and everything. But I'm starting to read about how, you know, the practices that we do here that's ruining wheat in America, they're starting to do in Europe as well. So yeah, unfortunately,
maybe not as much though, because I do think it's less common there. They don't allow glyphosate or a lot of these practices that we do here. So yeah, but maybe like you said, it's
hard to control too, because like the way that like nature works, you can't just like confine the wheat molecule to like the US land, you know, it might like get over there as well. So, you know, it makes it really difficult to stay gluten free. But you know what? We can do it. And we have some great tips for you if you want to give it a try.
Yes.
Okay, so as I said earlier in the podcast, you want to try it for 30 days to really see how you feel and if your symptoms go away. Then after those 30 days, you can reintroduce it back in and see if your symptoms come back and flare up. Some people are highly sensitive. Some people are only a little sensitive. And you'll find that out and figure out what works for your body as you go and as you test things out. I personally prefer to stay away from it. I find that my cystic acne comes back. I feel bloated. I feel fatigued. And so I know how sensitive I am to it. I can have a bite, but I certainly can't have a whole meal that's made of, you know, pasta or something like that.
Yeah, and we actually even talked about a sister earlier who, Bethany, who actually cut out gluten. And then later on, when she had gluten and dairy again, she mentioned that she couldn't wait to go back to no gluten and dairy because she felt those symptoms pop up. So that's a really great example of trying that method for 30 days and then reintroducing it back in to see if it impacts your symptoms. And you'd be surprised, you know, even if you don't think you're sensitive to gluten, mm-hmm. it can impact you maybe 5%, 10%, or a little bit. And when you reduce it, you may be surprised how much better you feel.
Yeah, I totally agree. So you want to give it a try, but you don't want to cut it out completely and all of a sudden just like rip out all the meals that you love from your diet. You can replace foods that you like with ingredients that are gluten-free. And gluten-free grains and ingredients include potatoes, rice, corn, quinoa, teff, millet, sorghum, buckwheat, flax, and chia. And these are a lot. We have lots of variety, and nowadays they're making a lot of different snacks and pizza crusts and pastas out of these ingredients that actually taste good.
Yeah, and they're also very, like, these are all naturally occurring foods and super healthy for you. I mean, quinoa mm-hmm. has protein in it as well as carbs. And chia seeds has so much good fiber mm-hmm. that trust me, will really help with your bowel movements if you ever have issues with that. Keep in mind, too, like, if you love pasta, you can consider trying, like, gluten-free pasta options like chickpea pasta, which also has protein in it in addition to carbs. But keep in mind, too, we always talk about, like, if you're going gluten-free, don't focus on just consuming the processed foods, thinking that that's the solution and that's going to basically fix everything. Because at the end of the day, like, processed foods will still have those additional ingredients, additional, you know, calories, or not calories, but additional, like, things added to it that may not be as healthy. So overall, like, we always recommend to just focus on naturally occurring foods that are already gluten-free. And there's already so many gluten-free options that are naturally occurring. Like when we talk about proteins, mm-hmm. like all meat. When we talk about carbs, like potatoes, sweet potatoes, rice, brown rice. Like
buckwheat, delicious.
Like so many options that are actually gluten-free that sometimes we forget that there's actually like a majority of food is actually gluten-free.
Yeah, and to be honest, those processed snacks, not only are they processed, but they're also more expensive. And you don't need to lean in that direction. You can just buy quinoa, and that's so much cheaper than buying the quinoa gluten-free snacks, you know what I mean, that are processed and can be like 3 times the price. So there are ways to do this that's super budget friendly and just very healthy and in a whole food manner.
Well, I was gonna say, like, if you're thinking like, oh, but it's my birthday coming up and I want to have a birthday cake, how am I gonna have a birthday cake? Well, there are, I'm sure you know now, but like there's more and more gluten-free desserts coming out, like from different stores all the time, birthday cakes and all that. We even have in the Sisterhood app, we have a whole like dessert section, including a birthday cake recipe. But overall, like, it's like, it may not taste the same. Maybe it doesn't have the same like gooiness, but keep in mind, what did that gooiness impact before? So when you eat something gluten-free and it doesn't feel as gooiness, you can kind of be like, hey, at least that's not going to go in my stomach and make me feel in a certain way. But that doesn't mean, again, like you can't have gluten or like you shouldn't have gluten ever or feel bad about having gluten. It's just like to keep in your mind if you ever feel like, you need that motivation to like keep going, or if you need that motivation to go back.
Exactly. And I will say, I have curated the recipes in the Sisterhood to taste delicious and not like sandy, which is some of the gluten-free recipes like back when I went gluten-free like 10 years ago where it had this weird texture. But I was meticulous about all of the recipes. They're all super delicious. And if you want to give them a try, trust me, not only will you love it, but your family will too. Right, yes. Sirak?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just what did you make last night? It was part of the Sisterhood recipe.
What did I make last night? Oh, it was
breaded chicken.
Breaded chicken with everything bagel seasoning.
Yes, all gluten-free. And of course, we had rice on the side of it, so it was delicious.
Yes. Well, sisters, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you feel inspired to go gluten-free, give it a try, and see how you feel.
Yes, and keep up with us. We'll be, as we mentioned, we'll be in Japan for about 9 days. Mm-hmm. We'll share everything on stories and stuff, and of course, give you guys our update when we come back on this podcast and let you know how it all went and whether we got lost or...
If Talin lost her mind.
Yes, exactly.
All right, sisters, talk to you soon.
Take care, everybody.
Bye. What if you had an app for PCOS that could tell you what to eat, when to work out, and how to track your goals every day?
Introducing the Sisterhood app. Not only does the Sisterhood app give you access to the largest community of women with PCOS, but it also provides you with a daily PCOS plan.
Your daily PCOS plan tells you exactly what to eat for each meal of the day. It's like having me as a dietitian in your pocket. It also sends you a notification when it's time to work out, and it provides step-by-step videos to help you reverse your biggest PCOS symptoms.
You also get access to 100-plus gluten and dairy-free recipes, the 5 Steps to PCOS Weight Loss Masterclass, and a full PCOS-friendly workout library to choose from.
But let's not forget the most crucial component of PCOS weight loss, the support. You're not alone. In the sisterhood, you become part of the largest community of PCOS women where you can chat with us in our private Facebook group. Sirak, myself, and your fellow sisters are in there every day to answer your questions and support you along the way.
So what are you waiting for? You can head over to the App Store and search Sisterhood or click the link in the description to get started today.
See you in there.